Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Friday, and welcome to Alive to Thrive with Brenda Fraser. Each week, Brenda brings you interesting guests and timely topics to uplift and motivate you to be all that you can be today and for all your tomorrows. Join Brenda and Alive to Thrive every Friday at noon Central Time, right here on Greater Good Ministries Radio. And now, here's Brenda Fraser.
What would you do if a saint out of tune instead of walk out on me? Lend me your ear, let him sing a song. I know, try not to sing out of key, baby.
Hello and welcome to Alive to Thrive. My name is Brenda Fraser. We're so happy to be with you today. Beautiful fall day here in the Midwest. Was at the Streetscape Magazine Beyond the Best event last night at Ameristar Casino. So fun. Thank you, Tom Hannigan and Scott Mell, for inviting me to be at your host table. We had State Representative Ann Zare as the MC. Travis Sheridan, had not met him before, was the keynote speaker. He's with something called Venture Cafe down in St. Louis, doing some really innovative stuff. And he was so funny. He wore bright red sneakers. He said he has a pair of sneakers in almost every color, and it's his symbol for equality. That just blew me away. I thought, what a great way to show your support for equality, but to just wear these bright color sneakers. He was really funny. He had a path metaphor. We're going to be having Travis Sheridan on the Alive to Thrive program here in the next couple of months. There's a lot of interesting people coming up, too. Later this month, we have Vicki White. She's a watercolorist and painter. And Vicki is just one of the special people represented at Butterfly and Moon, 814 South Main Street. She is doing a party called Orange is the New Black on Sunday, October 25 at Butterfly and Moon with her series, a special collection of Orange is the New Black characters, ladies from the program, incredible watercolor paintings of the cast, as well as she paints scenes of St. Charles, Missouri, and other places she's traveled throughout the world. So she'll be joining us next week on the 23rd. And we have John O'Leary coming on the program. He's one of the featured speakers of TEDx Gateway Arch. TEDx, as you know, performs events around the country with top-notch speakers. And we're waiting here for Jeff Batts to call in. Our guest today is national touring comedian Jeff Batts. He will share some fun highlights of past tours with Weird Al Yankovic and Gallagher and the Charlie Daniels Band, as well as Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. I'm looking forward to talking to Jeff. He came into the store this week, so I got to meet him briefly. He's a real sweet guy. He runs a resort place up in Illinois at Rend Lake. Met him through Katie Cruz and Gina Keevan, two of the top event planners in the area. Katie Cruz, as you all know, has been on radio for 20 years. She's just high energy herself. And Gina Keevan of Choices Catering, a longtime friend, has come together with Katie to put together a comedy night October 23rd at the Grand Opera House on historic Main Street. This is the first of many shows coming to St. Charles. He's starting his national tour, Full Contact Comedy Tour, and it's coming up in just a week. So I think he's on the line with us. Jeff, is this you?
Yes. How you doing, Brenda?
Oh, great. I'm so glad you were able to come in off the beautiful deck. I'm sure you're just enjoying the fall foliage today.
Yeah, it is certainly gorgeous out there. I've been locked in the comedy cave most of the week, though, getting ready for the show next weekend, and I'm raring and ready to go.
So tell me about your comedy cave. Is that when you hunker down and write new material?
Yeah, just like in high school, I was one of those guys that always crammed for the exam. So I've got a huge exam a week from tonight. So I've been cramming, writing new material, rewriting some of my old classic material, and just getting prepared to blow the roof off the place and have a great time.
Well, we're so excited that Gina Keevan and Katie Cruz have teamed up to bring you to St. Charles. A lot of people are talking about this, that, you know, it's going to be nice to have a dinner theater kind of environment. What prompted you to get back out there and start touring again?
Well, I happened to meet Katie, and then Katie is a good friend and works alongside with Gina, and just kind of brainstorming together, I kind of told them that I, you know, was a stand-up comedian. They went online and checked out some of my YouTube clips, and I talked about you know, a possible show to come back and do some shows in the St. Louis metro, and it just started to come together, and Gina and Katie went, you know, they thought St. Charles was a good fit. Main Street, it's so great down there. They have a lot of live music down there and great shops and dinner and, you know, places to go out to eat and the bed and breakfast. And they thought there's one thing missing, which is kind of a dinner theater, kind of a comedy thing. So and then they found the Opera House, and it seemed to be a good fit. So we're looking forward to next Friday night, and hopefully that'll be the first of many great shows that we'll have there in St. Charles.
Well, that sounds wonderful. And you mentioned bed and breakfast, and I do want to give a shout-out to my dear friend Rona LoCoco, who runs LoCoco Houses 2 and 3 up on North 5th Street. She has a beautiful bed and breakfast, very affordable, under $100. So people can make a whole night of it. They don't have to worry about driving back to Illinois or wherever they're driving in from, but to come up early, have dinner, see the show, stay at the bed and breakfast. Also going on that weekend on Friday and Saturday night, the 23rd and 24th of October, is a brand new event in St. Charles called the Pumpkin Glow, and Main Street is all going to be lit up with pumpkins. It's a new event that the merchants have got together to plan. There will be sampling and special events going on in all the little shops, so people can shop first and then stroll down to North Main Street and catch the show. So, Jeff, let's go back in time a little bit to when you first got started in comedy. That's not something most, you know, kids in school when they're in high school or college don't say, you know, gee, I want to grow up and be a comedian. But did you have a taste for it at a young age?
Well, that's, you know, I get asked this question a lot, you know, it just seems like almost every week somebody asks me how I got into comedy, and it just was a very natural thing. You know, I started doing comedy in grade school at the grade school talent shows when other kids were trying out their tap dancing moves, or they were singing their songs, or, you know, reading something, you know, some poetry or whatever. I was doing comedy. You know, I grew up with an older brother who was really into albums, comedy albums, Richard Pryor, George Carlin, Cheech and Chong. I could go on and on and on. He had a whole collection of them. When he would leave the house, I wasn't supposed to touch the record player. I wasn't supposed to touch his collection. But as soon as he left the house, that's the first thing I did, was run in his bedroom and start playing these albums. I was 7 or 8 years old. I was listening to things that I probably shouldn't have been listening to. But, you know, nevertheless, it was a great influence on me. And then about that time, Saturday Night Live, you know, SNL came on the air. And I started, you know, my parents were very, you know, loose with my bedtime, so I was able to stay up late at night and watch Johnny Carson and the comedians on there. As a matter of fact, I named my my second son Johnny Carson Batts, and
no.
We call him Carson. But so I grew up watching Saturday Night Live, watching the comedians on Johnny Carson show, listening to these albums, and it was just in my blood. So it was about junior high at a talent show that I actually started writing my own material. In grade school, I was actually going up and doing Abbott and Costello bits for talent shows and actually did a Cheech and Chong bit in grade school as a talent show. But then I got into junior high and I started writing my own original comedy, and I did that all through high school. And then after high school, I was in college, I kind of gave it up for a while, then ended up moving down to Orlando, Florida. A buddy of mine was teaching school down there. I ended up moving down there, and comedy was at its boom. It was just like 1990, and comedy and comedy clubs were really the top of their popularity, and I got involved in some talent contests, some comedy contests down there, and I was winning. And one of the first prizes that I won was a contract with a comic agent down there, a comedian agent, and then the rest is history. I ended up on the road doing comedy for about 10 or 12 years.
Wow. Yeah, Central Florida, there's so much going on there with all the theme parks, and I used to go down there a lot. My dad lived in that area. So, yeah, dinner theater is big in Florida, and comedy is definitely making a comeback. I had a really smile when you said Cheech and Chong and George Carlin. I grew up with those guys and listening to all that, and Saturday Night Live was just definitely revolutionary in some of the things that they did and skits. So what are some of your characters, or do you have some characters that you like to bring on the road with you?
Well, my show is completely different than your normal stand-up comedy. So that's one thing you want your listeners to know about this. This is more comedy theater. A guy from the Orlando Sentinel, one of the first reporters that came out to one of my shows, he reported in his story that I was like a one-man Saturday Night Live because I did skits, I did commercial parodies, I do sketches with the audience where I create characters on stage, and then I take that character off the stage into the audience and interact with the crowd as the character, okay? So everybody in the room, you know, from the bartenders and waitresses to every patron that's there, there's a good chance they're going to end up as part of the show, and I'm going to come out and talk to them as the character. We're going to get them involved in the commercial parody or in the character sketch that I'm doing. And so it's a very unique experience. It's not just a guy at a microphone talking about his ex-wife or talking about his kids or whatever. That's fine. That type of comedy has its place. But just to me, I grew up on Saturday Night Live, and so I do the characters and the commercial parodies and the sketches on stage. That's what I do.
That's cool. So has that ever backfired, or did you ever have, that's taking some big chance to go out into the audience and have you ever had it, go haywire?
Absolutely. It is comedy without a net. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Basically, I'm jumping off the roof and hoping that the crowd's going to catch me. But to be honest, after I've done this for 15 years or so, I really haven't had too many shows where the audience doesn't want to participate. I usually come out and do 10 or 20 minutes of, 10 or 15 minutes of regular stand-up comedy. I kind of introduce myself to them. They realize that my comedy is not going to hurt anybody. I'm not attacking anybody. I'm not making fun of anybody. I make fun of everybody, basically, myself included. And once they realize that it's all in good fun, and that it's going to be harmless, that we're all going to have a good time and really just have a great evening together as an experience together.
I love that. Well, I love that. And I loved what you said about not hurting anyone or, I think some people, I've had some friends say to me, well, gee, what kind of comedian is he? Because so many comics, they don't take the high road. They take the low road. And it's a turnoff sometimes. Gay jokes, Jew jokes, black jokes. It's like, it's old. It's not funny. And so, how do you, so you set yourself apart. I really think that's interesting. So, do you find life experiences, that things that have just happened in your own life to make fun of?
Well, I do, but I like I said, and you can't take it the wrong way, but I'm going to make fun of everything. And but it's all in good fun. And usually, like, for instance, I have a bit that I do about truck drivers. Okay. And if there's truck drivers in the audience, they love that bit. And if I do, some jokes about, gay marriage or whatever I might be talking about, or race or anything, the people that are there enjoy it, okay? They enjoy it because it's fun. It's making light of people's, that are racist. It's making fun of them, how ridiculous it is to be racist or to be against anyone's sexuality, you know. And so basically I have fun with it, but it's actually it's poking fun at people that have a negative, you know, towards people that aren't like themselves, you know.
So it's poking fun at the bias and the prejudice, right, as opposed to taking advantage of the bias or the prejudice. So what kind of stories from your own life have you brought on stage? And, you know, is that hard to be, you know, so vulnerable up there? I mean, like you said, it's comedy without a net. You have to be very vulnerable when you're on stage. You don't have, especially you're out up there by yourself, there's no one else to, you know, if you forget a line to fill in. So, I mean, the adrenaline must be incredible when you're up there. But how did you get to that point that you, you know, had that confidence to just let it all show?
Well, you know, they say that the scariest, that people, if they're polled or they do studies, that the thing that scares people the most is public speaking. Well, evidently there was a chromosome or a gene somewhere in me that just went haywire, because I've always been drawn to it. When anytime I was in a crowd, even as a 4 or 5 year old, and there was a microphone or a stage, I wanted on the stage. I wanted at the microphone. It didn't matter if it was at the checkout line, at the cash register at Walmart. I was grabbing the microphone and talking. I wanted to make people laugh. I wanted to poke fun at things. I wanted to have a good time when I was there. And it was very, very natural for me. And still to this day, and when I go to a concert or some kind of a sporting event or whatever, I want to be on that stage. You know, my palms sweat. I just wish I could get up there and do it and do my thing, you know, because it's just what's in my blood. And it always has been, and I don't see that ever changing. And I haven't done a lot of stand-up comedy lately because I've been in the business world. I've been raising 2 boys. But and you touched on something about, do I bring a lot of my past to the stage? I really don't. That's really not my brand of comedy. I mean, there are some jokes in my routine that I am poking fun at my age. I am poking fun at the fact that I've been married and divorced 3 times, and I call my current girlfriend plaintiff. I mean, there's some jokes in there. But as far as going back, my upbringing was so unusual that I feel like if I try to bring that to the stage, no one would believe it's true. So my background is very unique, so I don't even really bring it to the table because I don't think people would actually believe the things I'm saying. So instead, I just go for the outrageous characters and skits and things that you see in on TV. I kind of make fun of just the world in general.
So, you know, I love hearing guys talk about being a father and raising their kids. What are some of the values that, you know, you've tried to instill in your boys that you think it's important to instill in young men?
Well, you know, fortunately for me, my 2 boys got my good traits without getting my bad ones. And so, you know, I'm not perfect. You don't have to be perfect to be a parent. You just need to be there. And I've always been there for them. I kind of put my comedy career on hold to make sure they could be raised here in the Midwest. It was very important for me. It was very important to me that my sons be raised, you know, in the Midwest with the other extended family around in the same kind of atmosphere and environment that I was raised in. They both excelled. They were both valedictorians in their graduating class, and they're very successful, well-adjusted young men. I'm very proud of them. They don't have the bug to get on stage. They're not looking for the limelight. That's not their thing, and that's fine. They're very happy in what they do, and they're very successful. But I think the main thing as far as parenting goes is to be there for your kids and to show them, you know, that's important. Is family is, you know, blood's thicker than water, and you're there for each other through thick and thin, and I always have tried to do that. And then as far as other things, I just try to emphasize to them, do what you say and say what you're going to do, okay,
mm-hmm.
and then do it.
Be impeccable with your
things.
Word. That's one of the four agreements that Don Ruiz has talked about, one of the four agreements to be impeccable with your word. And that is. It's really at the end of the day, all you have really is your integrity, your reputation, your credibility, and that's worth more than gold in the bank, because people need to know that they can count on you and that you're reliable and that you're going to do what you say you're going to do. And so let's talk a little bit about your business life, your other life besides being on the comedy tour and doing entertainment. You've been working at Wren Lake up in Illinois. Tell us about that experience, about the features there. I know you all have a big open house coming up in November 1st. I think I'm going to be coming up for that.
Yeah.
Tell us about Wren Lake.
Well, you know, business has always been in my blood and an entrepreneurial spirit. My dad and my grandfather were both, and my mom were all entrepreneurs and business owners and things. So that was always in my blood. I always bounced back and forth between business and entertainment and also, you know, sports. I bounced into that too. Now I don't do, you know, sports things gone, but I still am in business. I took over the family business of a Dairy Queen here in Southern Illinois about 7 or 8 years ago. It was been in the family for 40 plus years. And then last year, I took over the restaurant at the Wren Lake Golf Resort, which is in Southern Illinois, about an hour and a half southeast of St. Louis. And it's a resort with 27 holes of championship golf. Plus, we have our restaurant, sports bar, and a banquet center. And Gina and Katie have put together a bridal show. I'm not going to include myself in that. I've helped them somewhat get it together. But they've done all the work, and they've done a great job of this putting this event together. I think they've got 15 to 20 vendors that are going to be on hand, and for the first bridal show that we've done here. That's extraordinary that they've gotten that many vendors on board, and it's coming up 2 weeks. I think it's, is that 2 weeks from Sunday then? November 1st from 1 to 4. And, yeah, Brenda, we'd love to see you here. I've been in your shop. I think, you know, you have a lot to offer the brides and the wedding parties here from your collection. So we look forward to you coming down, having our great food. We have wonderful food, a great atmosphere, a beautiful location here at Wren Lake.
And you also have overnight accommodations, I understand?
Yes, there's a – now that's separate from my restaurant, but there is on the property here, there's condominiums, condo rentals, and also the lodge. The lodge is, it's like a hotel pretty much, but there's a lodge with a lot of really clean, newly decorated rooms and beautiful condos that are available to people that want to come on a getaway. There's a couple of wineries real close by. There's the lake, fishing, camping, and golf, and all these things that are going on here. And it's really a beautiful part of the country, and it's not that far outside the Metro St. Louis area too. So it's a great excuse to get away, get out of the city and drive down and have some great food and see a beautiful, you know, location down here.
So I just want to make sure if this is the right website, WrenLakeGolfResort.com near Whittington. Is that the website?
That's where we are. Exit 77 and off of I-57 under the giant golf ball water tower. They have the only golf ball water tower that I've seen. It looks like a golf ball sitting on a tee. It's pretty unique. Our restaurant and banquet center sits underneath that, and it's you know, like I said, the bridal show is going to be a great event.
Awesome. And it's a beautiful website. It shows just the peace and serenity that's there, and it's only 90 miles from St. Louis and also convenient to Evansville, Indiana, Paducah, Kentucky. I love that area of Paducah, Kentucky, because there's all those great antique shops and little places to shop along the way. And, you know, Southern Illinois is getting more attention as a area with a lot of original, you know, art and artisans, and some of the finest art in the Midwest is in that area. So people can check out going to Wren Lake. There's 18,000 acres of fishing, boating, hunting, hiking, cycling, and camping. Wow, I can't wait to go up there. Maybe this is where I'll be going for my birthday weekend in November. Been wanting to go someplace to relax. So you have these two worlds. You have this very serene environment at the golf resort, and then, you know, being on stage and entertaining. Do you plan to go to other cities beyond St. Charles? Do you want to take it on the road?
Well, that's going to be up to Katie and Gina. They're managing my career. Wherever it goes will be at their direction, and hopefully that will be the case. I mean, we've gotten some interest maybe to do some things down in Branson, Missouri, you know, which we're hoping that the show on the 23rd, we're going to videotape the show and upload that onto the, you know, a lot of this onto the internet. So we'll have some digital assets. People can look at clips from the show and bookers and corporate event planners and things like that all over the country can see what, you know, that my show could come to their event or to their club or to their resort and perform. Yeah, you know, the days of me going from comedy club to comedy club like I used to do, you know, full-time on the road, I don't think I will go back to that again. It'll be more of like engagements and events that I'll be doing. And you know, if something came up like down in Branson, Missouri, that'd be wonderful. I'd love to have a regular gig there. But we think that maybe right there in St. Charles, you know, with the casinos there and the great Main Street area, that maybe this is a regular thing that could be done right there in St. Charles, and we'd love to do it. I've spent a lot of time in St. Charles the last month or so, and I think it's a wonderful place to go and to have a great time. And I think the show will be, you know, very well received, and hopefully build some momentum and pull people that are going to the casino, pull them over to the Main Street and have them come in for dinner and drinks and see a great comedy show.
I think that sounds fantastic. And yes, I mean, there is a lot in Branson, and would love to hook you up with one of my business partners, Marlene Bryce of Branson. But, you know, St. Charles has so much to offer, and I know they just posted about the upcoming Art Walk, which will be November 13th, Lucky Friday the 13th, at the old post office, which has been renovated by Randy Schilling and is now a facility for business startups. And, St. Charles has a lot to offer in some great festivals and great things that happen at Frontier Park, and, you know, definitely time to have some comedy event at the Grand Opera House on North Main Street. I wanted to also go back a little bit. You know, a lot of comedians and entertainers, you know, do have to pay their dues. It sounds like you have done that. You've paid your dues. What was it like touring with Weird Al? What are some funny stories you can share with us from back in the day?
Well, Weird Al, you know, he was very a unique individual, very, very shy, very bashful, at least he was. I only had a chance to meet him a couple of times, and it was like he's very focused on his show. You know, I saw him right before I went on and did my opening act for him, and so I didn't really get the chance to hang out with Weird Al. I don't think he's the type that does that kind of thing, but I did some arena dates. I did SIU Arena with him years ago. Also, I worked with Gallagher. I worked with Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons, the Charlie Daniels Band, among others. You know, it is part of paying your dues is go up and warm up for these other acts that are coming up. And I always enjoyed that, getting to showcase what I can do in front of these, you know, 1,000 people or 2,000 people was always a kind of a rush and something that I love to do because I admired those performers so much, and getting a chance to work with them even on a limited, you know, basis was always a lot of fun.
Who do you like to watch now perform? Who inspires you?
Well, one thing I'll tell you, I'm not good with names, but there's so many comedians out there that I can appreciate when I tune in. And they don't have to be comedians that are like me. As a matter of fact, there's very few that are actually out there doing the type of comedy that I do. But I do enjoy like Jim Gaffigan. I mean, there was, you know, Dane Cook for a while there. Dane Cook was doing a lot of great comedy, and his act was a little bit similar to mine. Very high energy, very outrageous. So I would, you know, if there was somebody out there, I could say, okay, Dane Cook, you know, is somebody that I respected and kind of did similar to what I do, where he would do these big bits and really kind of bring the house down. And that's what I always try to do. You know, right now I'm really into Stephen Colbert, who's just taken over David Letterman. I was a huge Letterman fan. I always felt that Letterman was the best interviewer on TV since Johnny Carson. I mean, Jimmy Fallon's great, and Fallon is similar to my show. He does characters and does some outrageous things, but as far as interviewing a guest, Letterman was the best, hands down, since Carson. And now Colbert is sliding right in there. He's really got a skill for doing that kind of thing. I kind of like his brand of humor, and I like him watching him on TV, you know. So I'd say right now Colbert is somebody that I'm watching and enjoying on TiVo every night, watching him do what he does, and he's doing a great job taking over Letterman's spot.
Wow, and I think it's, you know, everything was shaken up in the last few years. I loved Letterman too. I, you know, grew up watching him, and Colbert is doing great, and you know, I like Fallon as well. It's been really interesting to see them all evolve with their own little styles and things like that. And
What I find myself doing, Brent, is I record Fallon, Jimmy Fallon, and also Stephen Colbert, and I watch the monologue from Stephen Colbert and the interviewing, but I watch the skits and sketches that Fallon does. He's, you know, really does a great job at that, and he's brought what he's done on Saturday Night Live, he's brought that to late night TV very well, and people are certainly drawn to it. But, you know, as far as, you know, hosting goes, I like Colbert style.
Awesome. Well, I think our dear friend Gina Keevan has joined us, and I want to welcome her to Alive to Thrive. Her ears must have been ringing. Hello, Gina. Welcome to Alive to Thrive.
Well, hey, guys. What's going on? Good afternoon.
Hey, we're having fun. We're just talking about many different things. And two of your fan club members, Jeff here and myself, are singing your praises about how you're helping to relaunch his career with getting him on the road and getting him to come to St. Charles. What gets you so excited about working with Jeff?
Well, no, absolutely. Well, you know what? He was on the circuit for 20 years and did amazingly well. And, you know, opened up for the Charlie Daniels Band. He's been on Comedy Central, Howard Stern, all these things. And I just thought that he's ready to come back. And so for me, that was exciting, because I would like to also bring Main Street alive again, you know. And with Jeff coming in, I think Jeff could have a show every week somewhere, and he'll fill the room. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be fun.
And have you seen him perform? Has he practiced and rehearsed some of his material with you, Gina?
Yes. And he is hysterical. This is going to be almost like it's like a Vegas show. It's like just like if you went to Vegas and without the expense. Yeah.
Well, we do want to make sure we give out the ticket link, which is on Eventbrite, and you can go to Jeff Bates Full Contact Comedy to get tickets on Eventbrite. It's a very reasonable price for dinner and show. It's only $35. If you just want to go to the show, it's $21. VIP seating, $55. Tell us what VIP seating includes, Gina.
Well, VIP seating is when we're going to put them at the top, at the front row, or, you know, very close to Jeff. They will get, of course, a dinner. And the dinner is from Tony's on Main, by the way. I don't know if that was mentioned. But
no, it wasn't.
It's going to be, it's chicken modiga, pasta con broccoli, Italian salad, rolls and butter. And the VIP get a special dessert as well. And they will be able to talk to Jeff and meet with Jeff after the show. And
sounds like the VIPs will also be part of the show from how he does the interactive.
I kind of didn't want to give it away, but yeah, and they're going to be part of the show. So it's going to be really fun.
They'll be
part of
the show, and I'm sure
And Brenda,
get a picture.
Guess what? You might be there too. You might be part of the show too. You just
don't
know.
Oh, God. That gets me a little nervous, but.
Yeah.
I've never been a part of a comedy show before, I can say that for sure. Now, Jeff, your promotional picture includes a funny little upside-down bat, it looks like. Tell us about that as a motif and why you use that as your promotional picture. I was curious where that came from.
Well, my last name is Bats, B-A-T-T-S, so if people are looking for it. Through Eventbrite, you go to B-A-T-T-S. A lot of people put an E in there and call me Bates, but it's Bats.
Yeah.
And so naturally people call me Batman. And then when I saw this, my brother's an artist in St. Louis, and he whipped that up for me, this drawing of this bat hanging upside down from a branch with a voice balloon that says ha on it, like the bat's laughing and it's hanging upside down. And it just kind of, for some reason, I kind of clicked with me. I'm like, that's funny in itself, and I want that on stage behind me. I just thought it was kind of clever. Kind of ties in with my last name, and so we're going with that and putting in part of the stage backdrop.
Well, and sorry to interrupt, Jeff, but the other thing is, Brenda, how perfect is it right before Halloween? Right.
I know. Well, you steal the words right out of my mouth. I was just thinking that it's very seasonal and appropriate. It looks like a full moon there with the big yellow circle.
Butterfly and moon.
Exactly. Butterfly and Moon is so excited to be a sponsor, and we do have tickets, and we're open 6 days a week. People can stop in and get their tickets or get them on Eventbrite, either way. But we do want people to tell their friends and let this show go viral. It's a great date night.
Yeah,
oh,
it should be a lot of fun. Tony's has tickets there, too, on Main Street.
Yes, Tony's on Main does as well. Mm-hmm.
And,
but I will tell you, I would love, I mean, not to say I wouldn't want to go to Tony's, because I love Tony's and I love their food, but Butterfly Moon, that store, that boutique, it's amazing, and it has the most unique gift ideas and fun items. I think I would choose there, too, to buy a ticket.
I actually modeled a bracelet for Brenda's place the other day while I was in there.
He modeled a leather cuff, and I my line is you have to be man enough to wear a leather cuff, and Jeff has these beautiful, big, muscular arms. He's like real beefy. I mean, it must be hard to keep the girls off of him because he's very handsome girls, and he's still single, so you never know what might happen at his show. But you can come to Butterfly Moon, get something to wear, get a nice warm wrap, and go down and see some nice eye candy. Sorry, Jeff, I just couldn't resist.
I would hate that. I would hate that, Brooke, if a bunch of single women came to see my show. I would hate that. That would be horrible.
Would really be bad, especially if they wore, like, little black dresses. Contact comedy, that sometimes is a phrase used with full contact in body sports, or I don't know. Tell us about the name of the show, Full Contact Comedy. Where did you get that title?
Well, it just, you know, I've called the show in the past, you know, Jeff Batt's Comedy Experience, and then, you know, Full Contact Comedy, just because I don't stay on the stage. I try to make contact with everybody in the room, from the bartenders and the waitresses to every, you know, fan that comes in to see the show, or every, you know, every customer in the building. I try to go out and make contact with them at some point during, I do a long show. I do over an hour to an hour and a half. And so, you know, that's why I call it that. It's very physical. I'm sweating a lot. You know, I'm doing costume changes on the fly, changing voices, changing characters, and it's just a little bit different than a guy standing in a microphone. So we wanted something that portrayed that in the title, and I know Gina and Katie both really like the full contact comedy idea, and so we've kind of just run with that.
And also,
so how
you
do
know,
you
this is adult comedy as well. Just remember that, adult comedy. So
adult comedy, not something you should bring your kids to.
Right.
This is for the parents to get the night out. And it's a great, you know, so many young parents are, you know, they're stuck at home most of the time watching television or, you know, movies on Netflix. But this is a nice evening out, close by, easy parking, easy in and out. You know, without the hassle of going down to St. Louis and things like that. But I wanted to ask Jeff, you know, you talk about the very physicalness of the show and sweating and just, you know, the costume changes. How do you physically prepare? Do you work out and eat more protein? Or what are some of your personal secrets to prepare for such an endurance event?
Well, I don't want to overplay the fact that it's, you know, very physical, but it's not the type of show that I can do 10 a week. I can do probably, you know, two or three shows like this a week, and then I'm pretty much shot. My voice will be gone. So, you know, just doing a couple shows a week is plenty, whereas a lot of comedians, you know, do 5, 6, 7 shows a week. But, I mean, I am in the gym 4, 5, 6 times a week. That's something I've done for the last 10 years, and I do try to kind of change what I'm eating before a show for the week or two before the show to try to get, you know, get the heart rate down, get the blood pressure where it's supposed to be, and build a little bit of endurance, because I don't want to run out of gas, you know, because the audience, you know, you're trying to build to the very end and end on a high note. And, you know, plus there's alcohol there, so we're all having some cocktails, and it's very easy to get, you know, to get too loose at the end of a show and not perform the material right. So I have to be, you know, ready to go, and I want everybody to feed off of that energy, and I'll be feeding off the energy of the audience as well. So, you know, we try to keep them pumped up, and then, you know, in reverse, it comes back, the energy the audience has, you know, comes back at me. And I know that
being down on Main Street in St. Charles, the energy down there. I was down there for Music on Main one night, and the energy and the vibe down there was so positive and so much fun. I'm just looking forward to bringing that to the Opera House and having a great time.
It is. There is a positive vibe to St. Charles, partially,
absolutely.
I think, because it's on the river. It's a beautiful open area, you know, having the nice large Frontier Park, you know, and there is a good positive energy. There's like no crime that I know of. I mean, it's a very walkable Main Street, and we're blessed.
Remember, Brenda, I'm sorry I'm interrupting, but
yeah.
So I don't forget, because, you know, I'm at that age where I forget things in 2 seconds, but it is pumpkin glow as well. So when they drive down that evening, they're going to have how beautiful. And they get to see a show. I mean, so that, to me, I think it's just going to be a perfect night.
It is going to be a perfect night, and really want to encourage people to come down early, because there are other events going on Main Street, to come down, you know, around 4 o'clock, park down by the park, or park down on the public lot at 2nd Street, 2nd and Jefferson. There's a nice large parking lot there, and stroll the shops, and then come and have dinner. So
right.
Doors open at what time, Gina? 6:30 to come in and take your seat for dinner at 7?
Well, 6:30, yeah. 6:30, they come in, maybe have a cocktail. Dinner starts at 7. The show starts at 8.
Great. So Cash Bar, come in, get a couple of drinks, and socialize with your friends, and enjoy your nice dinner from Tony's, and then the show. So, and people can buy tickets as a gift for someone. It's a great way to reward a client, a customer, or your employee of the month. You can pick up a couple of tickets, and so much nicer than flowers, which just die anyway. You know, I'd rather get tickets to a show or something like that.
Oh,
so,
me too. What a great idea.
So anything else? And there's going to be other dates on the books, I understand. Is there dates coming up for November and December?
Well,
we're going to work on that.
Yeah.
Go ahead,
you know,
Jeff. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, and I think you're probably going to say the same thing. You know, the 23rd, which is a week from tonight, our first show, that's really going to be what we're going to base the future shows on, and how often we want to do them in St. Charles, and where we want to do them, that kind of thing. But you know, we do have plans to do at least a couple more shows between now and the end of the year somewhere, you know, in St. Charles.
Awesome. Well, and it could be at a place near you or a city near you. So if you want to book Jeff, contact Gina Keevan. Gina, go ahead and give out your number if you want people to call you about booking Jeff.
Sure. I think it'd be better to give Jeff, since he's single, but I'm just teasing. Okay, it's 636-734-3470.
I want to thank you, Gina. You're a great pimp and a good manager.
Yes, she is that. And she just now needs the little black limo and the big cigar, and she'll have the whole look going on. So,
yeah. Oh, my gosh.
And
you,
I actually met Gina on Main Street, so this comes full circle.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, she was. I had heard about her when I first moved here, and I said, I got to go meet that lady. She just is my kind of gal, and we were fast friends. And Jeff, just
yes.
Like when you walked into the store, I just felt like I had known you, and I know you're going to do awesome next week, and we're going to rock it in the next 7 days, get these tickets sold and sell out the house. What's capacity, 100 tickets, Gina? How many
probably
tickets?
150.
Yeah, 150. You
150.
Know, 150, really, 100, 150. Sue Schneider, one of my good buddies, just now bought 2 VIP tickets.
Well,
so
I saw her at Breadco last Monday. I saw her at Breadco, and I said, hey, did you get your tickets yet? And she said, I think I'm going to go. And then last night, Sue Berthold from Remington's, we were chatting at the Beyond the Best event that I think she's going to be buying tickets today. So we're just talking about it everywhere we go. And again, pick up your tickets at Butterfly and Moon at 814 South Main Street, or at Tony's on Main. What do you know Tony's address, Gina?
No, I don't know it offhand. Do you, Jeff?
It's 132 North
there
Main.
132 North Main at Tony's, so you can go in and have lunch,
buy
your
tickets. I told you, Brenda. I can't remember things if it's been longer than 5 seconds.
Well, probably one of the easy ways, if you can get down to Main Street and get by Brenda's Place, Butterfly and Moon, or if it's after hours, maybe Tony's on Main will still be open. Or you can go to Eventbrite.com and put in Jeff Batts, Full Contact Comedy, or St. Charles. It'll come up. It's easy to navigate through there. And, we just have a wonderful time.
That is so true. And if you do buy your tickets, you'll be able to get $5 off anything you want in October. Come into the store with your coupon so you can pick up a pair of earrings or something snazzy to wear out. And thank you so much, Jeff, for calling in. And thank you so much, Gina, for making time to be with us today.
Let me say something real quick. Thank you, Brenda, is really what it's all about. Like you said, it's full circle, and I appreciate you because people have no idea the business and the networking and the events and et cetera that you bring to St. Charles. I mean, I've really never seen someone work so hard as you. And with Butterfly and Moon, your store, it is doing, successful. It's being so successful because you hold events there. What store would have thought of that? You are so creative that, no wonder you are who you are. So, again, thank you very much for allowing us to be on the radio show and for partnering with us and sponsoring the show. So, thank you. Kudos to you.
Well, thanks again. And we do appreciate likes at facebook.com/alive2thrive. This link will be is recorded, so share the link. We've posted it on Facebook, and you can listen anytime, 24/7. And, again, Jeff Batts. I'm sorry, Jeff. I'm sure I've butchered your name on occasion.
Yeah.
I used to call you Bates, and now I call you Batts, and I'm sure there's a joke in there somewhere.
Yes,
anywho.
Friday night, I'll hold on to that joke till Friday night.
Yeah. Well, what's really funny, when I was uploading pictures for the program today, I had some mysterious person named Jeff. I had downloaded all these pictures of him, and I was like, okay, that's not him. I now know what he looks like. And he's the handsome guy in the yellow. And so we have the handsome
How
Jeff,
funny.
And we have the that other Jeff that will be deleted right after we're off the radio program. So, all right, everyone, have a good weekend.
You too.
Thank you, Brandon. All right. Thanks so much for your
See
help.
You later.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. We're going to end with a song by the Black Eyed Peas, One Tribe.
Developers, 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 developers.